Rendezvous Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Create and Celebrate, a night celebrating Black creativity and power on Wednesday, February 19th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Grant High School Auditorium in Portland. Create and Celebrate is a showcase of young Black creative talent, including performances of poetry, dance, and music from students across Portland. Again, that's Create and Celebrate, a night celebrating Black creativity and power on Wednesday, February 19th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Grant High School Auditorium, 2245 Northeast 36th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Thank you, baby. Just wanna take a little time out to you. Thank you, baby.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for contributing to KBOO's membership drive. And we couldn't have done it without you.
Thank you for your post, for your like, for your click. Tumation needs a TTTT. Thank you for your love, for your care, for your kind.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. It's 1 minute after 11 o'clock. And coming up next at Stage and Studio, host Demay Roberts speaks with actor, director, and artistic director of Confrontation Theater, LaTevin Alexander. And at 11:30, it's Art Focus. Amanda Clem speaks with Christine Miller and Brittany Vega about their exhibition, American Hex. Don't forget that you can hear all of these programs after they air on KBOO.fm or on iTunes and Google Play. And here is Stage and Studio.
I'm Demay Roberts, Stage and Studio. We're listening to original music by Portland musician and composer David Ornette Cherry. Hear his music at davidornettecherry.com. Today we feature LaTevin Alexander, actor, director, Demay Roberts, Stage and Studio. We're listening to original music by Portland musician and composer David Ornette Cherry. Hear his music at davidornettecherry.com. Today we feature LaTevin Alexander, actor, director, and artistic director of Confrontation Theater. His company is co-producing Pipeline by Dominique Morisseau with Portland Playhouse, and Pipeline runs February 19th, starting with previews, then opens February 22nd, and runs through March 15th. We're going to find out more about that show and about what it's like to create and sustain a theater of color in Portland. Huge topics here, so stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Demay Roberts. With me in my studio is LaTevin Alexander, actor, director, and artistic director of Confrontation Theater. Welcome to my home and to Stage and Studio.
Thank you for having me. A pleasure to be here.
Great to see you. I really appreciate you coming here today, and I'm excited to talk to you about Pipeline, which you're co-producing with Portland Playhouse, and you're also acting in. But first, I want to talk to you more about Confrontation Theater and about how you created it and just the story behind it.
Yeah, most definitely. So Confrontation was originally a project in my theater management class back in my undergrad at Florida A&M University. For those of you who don't know, the A&M stands for Agricultural and Mechanical. So Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University is a historically black college, historically black university in Tallahassee, Florida. And so in my theater management class, my teacher had us create a virtual theater company where we had to create a plan for the next, for like 10 to 20 years, so like a 10-year season or 20 seasons or whatever. And so so I went away with it. And when I was creating it, you know, we had to create the board. We had to create, you know, where we're going to do a children's theater, a regional theater, a SPT, a LORT, so on and so forth. And so I was creating this thing, and I started with my board members. And my board members consisted of a lot of great now deceased black peoples, like Malcolm X was like my board president. I think Dr. King was on there. Bob Marley was on there, like Nina Simone, Angela Davis. I had like all of these like black people like on there that I was like, yeah, this would be great. They, you know, they'd be down for this. And so, yeah, so I had all of them on my board. And then I'm creating my season. And when I was home, I got to the point where I was thinking about a name for it. And Bob Marley is one of my spiritual fathers. He's someone who I always look to or listen to for guidance or for peace. And when I was working on the project, I had his last album, Confrontation, playing in the background. And his song, one of my favorite songs on the album, is called Black Man Redemption. And so as the song is playing and I'm thinking about it and I'm thinking about the name, I'm like, yeah. Redemption Theater? No, that's not it. Black Redemption? No, that's not it. And I looked at the album, and I was like, Confrontation Theater. I like it. I like it. And I started thinking about, like, what does confrontation mean to me? What does it mean to Bob? What does it mean in this album? And it meant confronting whiteness, of course, but more than that, confronting ourselves, confronting our truths as black people, confronting our myths, confronting our lies, confronting our history, confronting love, confronting homosexuality, confronting transgender, confronting everything that is intersecting in our community and in our culture, and using it as sort of like a platform to then present our art in a very confrontational way. So not in the antagonistic, like we're looking to argue, but more like we're just looking to come at something sort of like chest open, you know, clear eyes, full heart sort of mentality.
It's so, like direct address.
Pretty much, yeah, direct address, which is what Bob Marley is all about and has been all of his life. Malcolm X, who was another one of my spiritual fathers, those two are the two that I kind of like, oh, what do you think, Malcolm? What do you think, Bob? And then I figure it out from there. So I try to follow in their footsteps and in the legacy that they and many other unapologetic black leaders have left behind. And so it started in college at FAMU.
Wow, I had no idea. That was a fabulous story, Letevin. I mean, I for some reason I thought it was something that just happened, you know, 3 years ago, right? But how long ago was that?
So the project was in 2013-2014 school year, because it was in my senior year of college. That's when the idea was born, and then I actually. Well, I guess that's when the idea was conceived, and then it was born on in May 2016 at the Portland Playhouse.
Well, you know, I think that's a fabulous program for one thing, because it got you in the mindset of producing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And that's like the best way for, especially an artist of color, to be able to work.
Yeah, and that's really what our department was all about. I don't know much about other liberal arts program, but we had a liberal arts program where our professors made it a point that we have to know everything that there is to know about the theater. So I have literally done everything but costumes. Sorry, Miss Carnley, if you're listening to this, I love you, but sorry.
Haven't done it yet.
Not yet, but it's coming.
Well, you know, speaking of having, you've done everything, right? Almost, except for costumes. Mm-hmm. I met you actually a long, long time ago when you were house managing at Portland Playhouse. You won't remember this, but you talked about you had, you know, just started being an apprentice mm-hmm. at Portland Playhouse. Mm-hmm. So that's where, you know, you kind of ground up, right?
Yeah. Started at the Portland Playhouse and figured it out from there. You know, I didn't know anybody but Nikki Weaver, sort of. I had met her briefly at the Southeastern Theater Conference in Mobile, Alabama, which is how I knew about the Portland Playhouse. And she was 8 months pregnant with her second daughter, and we were in this tiny room about the size of this table, and she was like, can you do your monologue again? And what do you think about Portland? And you know, we're going to do August Wilson. And I was like, oh, this is great. And then she said, free housing. I went, oh, free housing. And the other deals I had on the table didn't have that. And I was like, oh, man, that's nice. That's attractive. And then, yeah, and then, you know, with the one-man show, and I was going to be a part of three productions, and I thought it was a great gig. And I was like, yeah, let's figure it out. And my mom was like, you don't know anybody there, and it's 3,000 miles away. And we looked at the map and just sort of, like, went from, like, the panhandle in Florida all the way to the Pacific Northwest, and was like, geez, that's a jump. She was like, you sure you want to do it? I was like, yeah, I'll be fine. I wasn't thinking about it until, you know, you get on the plane and the pilot goes, we're 30,000 feet above the air. We have 3,000 miles to go until we reach whatever. And I was like, wait, how many miles? So, yeah, I had no idea. Only thing I knew about Portland, or really Oregon, was the Oregon Trail from the game, the Ducks, and the Beavers football team. And that was about it.
Well, yeah, because I was going to say, you know, from Florida to Portland is probably almost as far as you can go, except going to Alaska. Yeah. You know,
or like coming down from Miami, you know, leaving, you know, a few more hundred miles south and then coming. But yeah, I couldn't get too much further. So,
well, I always ask this because, you know, I get really interesting responses. You know, so you come to Portland. What were your experiences like? I guess addressing what Portland is, which, you know, at this point was probably about 87% white, mm-hmm. you know. So what was your experience like just sort of acclimating?
Well, it was different, I think, at first, because when I first got here, the first production I was a part of was August Wilson's The Piano Lesson at the Playhouse.
That was a great production.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Shout out to Kevin Jones, Brian Bentley, Rainey, Mujahid, Seth, Ron Scott, Chantal DeGros, what was great about that, it was all black cast, and we bonded so well. Like, although I was just an apprentice and I was understudying, they treated me like I was one of them. You know, I was not treated less than. I was included in all the post-rehearsal and post-show hangouts. We had epic spades games. It was amazing, and it was just great. And so I thought, and it was a lot of sunshine that year. And like a lot of people were saying that it was going to be very cloudy and very rainy and very gray. And I was like, okay, but I don't see it. So I thought people was lying to me. I really did. Cause I'm like, I'm around black people all the time, and this is sunshine, and this place is kind of great, you know? And the minute that play was over, I went into A Christmas Carol. And I was one of two other black people in the cast, and all the blackness that was around me had dissipated, and I was like, oh, I see. And so I was like, okay. And then at that point, it was different. It really didn't deter me. It really didn't bring me down much. It was just more of like a, just like, oh, okay, so what people said was true. It was just confirmation about where I was. I have always been a person where I don't complain about where I'm at. Like, I chose to be here. I chose to act. I made this decision. And so with it, I figure out, well, how am I going to make it work for me? How do I make this work for me? And I knew to make this work for me, black people wasn't here, so I had to bring them to me. And that's exactly what I did. I started meeting people around town. I made Kevin Jones be my mentor and godfather. I started meeting all of these people here. Every time I met a black person that moved here, and specifically in the arts, I was like, hey, come to the house. We're going to have a cookout. Hey, come by and see this thing with me. We're going to go down to the Portland Arts Museum or whatever. And so, yeah, so I made it work. And then I brought one of my best friends, Andrea Vernet, out here. And from there, we kind of took off.
She was in the apprenticeship program too at some point, right?
Yeah, she did it the year after me, yeah.
And Tamara Lynn?
Yep. Tamara did it the year after Andrea. So it was, you know, FAMU, back to back.
And they're both part of Confrontation Theater too.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. They are founding members, really. So, yeah. And Andrea specifically was even there in the conception of it. So she was there around the time that we were in school, in class. Creating the whole idea. Tamara was a couple years behind me, and so it wasn't specific, right there with me. But Andrea was around at the same time while the whole thing was being conceived.
Well, we're going to talk about pipeline soon, but you were kind of creating a pipeline of your own, right?
Oh, yes, most definitely. And you know, that's my thing. Me and Sarah Bills, the Portland Playhouse marketing director, was sort of talking about it. About how, like, that's part of my mission is to create pipelines and create avenues where I can bring other people on and give them a platform to be successful. because I you know, that's been given to me, so I feel like it's only right to give it back.
I think that what you spoke of is really a Portland model in many ways, mm-hmm. too, because the numbers of artists of color are so small here in all different disciplines, yeah. that so many of us do, like, get to know each other, collaborate with each other, help each other, yeah. and do stuff all the time.
Yeah, like, I'm so excited with Pipeline that we are doing something that's a first for the Portland Playhouse, and I believe is a first for a lot of other companies, and maybe in a long time, where we have a Black set designer on the show. And we had a staff meeting recently, and I was asking, so how many has ever worked at the Playhouse? And it was like, none. PCS, Artist Rep, you know, I'm asking about it, you know, not to put anybody on the spot, but just, you know, because I'm wondering, like, is this a first or whatever? And it's great. Like, this guy is great. And so, and, like, I'm loving that the Pipeline is being very specific about putting the Black designers on. And I want to expand it to Black stage managers and Black managers and that sort of thing, because that's how we all pull up. You know, it's not just about putting us on stage. It's not just about doing our work. It's not just about putting me in front to do a house speech. It's about, you know, making it more full circle. And I appreciate that the Portland Playhouse has committed themselves to really standing by that. So
yeah. I really appreciate you saying that. I'm directing Ben Uchida at Oregon Children's Theaters, mm-hmm. you know, and we have an all POC design team, yeah. you know, so we do have a Japanese American set designer, and, you know, APIs on lighting and sound, and Victoria yeah. Alvarez Chacon is yeah. our props, yeah. you know, mistress.
Yeah, hopefully she does props for us as well for Last Stop on Market Street too.
Well, she's also a great actress too, but yeah. also the great Wanda Walden.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's Auntie. I call it, yeah, that's Auntie Wanda. She knows, Auntie. If you hear that, hear this, I love you. But yeah, Auntie is like, I believe all of the designers on Pipeline are also either Black or Latina. Blanca Forzan is our lighting designer. Phil Johnson is our sound. Ruben Aranda Downs is our set and projections designer. We have Kira Sanford, white woman, but she is amazing as our props designer. So yeah, we got a really great team that's working on Pipeline right now. And Wanda Walden is our costume designer.
I think that's fabulous. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dimay Roberts talking with Latevin Alexander, actor, director, artistic director, and founder of Confrontation Theater. And find out more at confrontationtheater.org. And Confrontation Theater is co-producing with Portland Playhouse Pipeline by Dominique Morisseau, which runs February 19th with previews and opens February 22nd and runs through March 15th. And you can find out more at portlandplayhouse.org. I have all those links at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. You know, I think co-productions can really work positively for both a mainstream theater as well as a theater of color, because each can bring something unique to each other.
Yeah, it most definitely. I think co-productions in the way that we're doing it has I've seen to be the most beneficial and the most effective for both parties. Because we get to grow, and the more established organization also gets to grow, and they get a chance to exercise their values and their mission and their vision, while at the same time truly giving back. You know, and it's really great that we get to benefit, we get to bring our audience, we get to bring our culture into the space, and the Playhouse also gets to then, you know, elevate from that. You know, everybody gets to feed off of that, and it's a really exciting process.
And it helps with, you know, equity, diversity, and inclusion as well, right? Oh, yes. EDI. And also, you know, you have a history of this with Milagro,
yeah,
co-producing Jump,
yeah.
and which was critically acclaimed.
Yeah, that was our first time at a co-production. That was, going into it was a little, at least it was a little nervous, because we didn't know, like, what it was about, you know, like, it was a great idea, and we loved the play, and of course we loved Milagro, but just the idea, we was like, co-production? So what does that look like? What is that, you know? But it ended up being, like you said, critically acclaimed show. It was a very successful co-production. Thank you to Shelley B. Shelley for making that happen, because she's the reason why we were able to even do the co-production. Jose Gonzalez reached out to her and said, hey, he wants to work on this with the Black organization. And Shelley B. Shelley immediately emailed me, forwarded me that message, And I jumped on it immediately, and you know, in no time we were off. And it's been beautiful. It's been a very, very beautiful collaboration. And definitely with that one specifically, having the Latino culture and the Black culture be together, and to have people come and experience and celebrate that was really great.
So how did the co-production of Pipeline come together? And that's by Dominique Morisseau. And, you know, I loved Skeleton Crew, which Artist Rep did, speaking of Shelley B. Shelley. Yeah.
So it came by way of me and Brian Weaver trying to figure out how do we collaborate with one another. And because, you know, when I started the company from the very beginning, we always knew that it was going to happen. So, you know, the co-production was inevitable. But we just couldn't find what the piece was. And so for, I'd say, the last maybe year and a half at least, I would find a play. I'd email it to Brian. He'd think about it. He'd go, maybe not this one. He'd find a play. He'd send it to me. I'd read it. Oh, no, maybe not that one. And then when he sent this play, and I was like, oh, Dominique Morisseau. It's like, that's good. You know, it's a good start. And then when me and Andrea read the script, we fell in love instantly. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful play that we thought would make a beautiful co-production between us, definitely with the educational piece that's with it. And the Portland Playhouse has a great history of being involved in arts and education. And we wanted to find a way if we could partner with other schools in the area. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful piece. The timing fit perfectly for the Playhouse's schedule. It fit perfectly for what we were planning to do. So once we read it as an organization, we talked about it, and then we talked about sort of like how a possible co-production would go. We was like, why wait? Let's do it. And so we got the rights, and now here we are.
Pipeline. You mentioned it deals with the school, yeah, with education. So it's set in a private school. You want to tell us more about the plot?
So it's set kind of in about a few different places. So one of them is a private prep school, which my character Omari is attending, along with the character that's playing my girlfriend Jasmine, played by Tahereh Cozier. So we go to a prep school in upstate. We're saying sort of like upstate New York, but it also takes place at a public school in an inner city school that the other lead character, Naya, played by Ramona Lisa Alexander, she's a teacher there, and also Alyssa Jessup's character, Lori, are teachers in this urban inner city school. And then it jumps also, there's a hospital scene, and then there's a scene at our house, so we kind of like jump around. But the plot pretty much hinges on my character gets in trouble in school. I'm having a rough day, and I'm being singled out by my teacher. And what's great about the play, you never hear much about the teacher. All you hear is the teacher's pronoun. The teacher's called him and Mr. But that's it. You don't get if the teacher is a Black person or a white person or Latino or Chinese or whatever. All you hear is teacher, Mr. And the teacher singles me out and picks on me on a day where I'm just not in the mood for it, because I'm dealing with other sort of like stuff at home between my father and me. The teacher gets too close, and I try to create some space because I feel like the room is getting smaller, and I push him away, but it's caught on camera. And the way that the camera catches it is almost as if I have like attacked him, is how the media sort of pushes it in the comments that are made on social media. And then from there, and that happens off stage, so you don't see that, you hear about it. And then from there, it's about how my mom sort of goes on this crusade to try to save my life, to try to save me from going to prison or from being expelled from school. She's doing her best to try to keep me from falling in the pipeline that would lead me to prison. So the play kind of like that's sort of like the center of it, but you also get the sense of what is going on in the inner city school. So there's a lot of drama happening in the inner city school as well as in the prep school. Then there's things that's going on between my father and I, between my mother and my father, between a security guard played by Jasper Howard and Alyssa Jessup's character, Lori. You know, how the security guard couldn't make it to an incident because there's so few of them at a huge school. And you know how the resources are so few, but yet the expectations are so high on all these employees. And so all of these little pipelines, you know, it's the bigger pipeline, the school to prison pipeline, but there's also these relationships and how these relationships can fall into a certain pipeline as well. And then, of course, it's about the mother to son relationship, which I'm really looking forward to. And I'm really loving working with Lisa, Ramona Lisa, because my mother is a teacher as well. And obviously she's a Black woman. And a lot of what we go through is very similar to me and my mom's lifestyle and to some of her burdens that she's had as well as an inner city school teacher.
You mentioned Ramona Lisa Alexander, and it was great that she was hired as the community programs and associate artistic director at Portland Playhouse. So kudos for that, because we definitely need, you know, people, more people of color in administrative positions in theater, certainly. And I was glad to hear about Damaris Webb, co-founder, co-artistic director, and your coach for Vanport Mosaic, and she's directing it. So it's a really great, you know, list of credits for all the way around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of the key things coming into the co-production that, that me and Andrea definitely came in it wanting to make clear was that we wanted, from Confrontation's side, because this play was written by a Black woman for her mother, who is a Black woman, with one of the lead characters being a Black woman, it was very important that the person, the vision on this story would be from a Black woman's perspective. So that was kind of like top notch, you know. And we hit gold. I knew before the decision was final, but Damaris Webb is a world-class director. She's amazing. She has helped direct a beautiful piece that's going to move people to tears with laughter, and afterwards you'll be sitting there wanting to have conversations with each other about what it is that you just experienced for the last, I don't know, 2 hours or so. I don't know.
Well, I understood it was like a 90-minute show, maybe. No intermission kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm more in it. I'm not thinking about time. So, yeah.
So maybe it is 2 hours. But so, yeah, you're in. Yeah, so yeah, we'll I'm find in, out.
So
we'll find
know.
Out.
Yeah.
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 We'll find out. So one last shout out for Pipeline, which runs February 19th with previews, opens February 22nd, and runs through March 15th, and that's 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. More info and tickets, visit portlandplayhouse.org, and you can find out more about Confrontation Theater at confrontationtheater.org. LaTevin Alexander, I really appreciate you as an interview, because you're fabulous, for one thing. I could listen to you all day.
Thank you for having me. And for anyone who's hearing this, just know that what I love about this kind of work is that the more specific we are about our art, the more universal the messages are. And so I'm so glad that Dominique Morisseau wrote this story and wrote it in the way that she did. And I hope and I pray that people see the truth and see the reality of it, because you may find that it relates to your life, no matter what your gender, your ethnicity, where you are in the world. This play could resonate with you.
Thanks for coming to my studio and for talking about everything, and Break Legs for opening.
Thank you so much.
Before we go today, a shout out for a show I'm directing at Oregon Children's Theater. The Journal of Ben Uchida by Naomi Izuka is a one-hour story of a Japanese-American family who are forced to leave their home and are then incarcerated in an American concentration camp during World War II. It's a timely story of how quickly America can deny citizens their rights of citizenship. I love directing the cast with three Japanese-American actors, including KABU's own Jenna Yokoyama. We have an all-POC creative team, and it's recommended for ages 10 and up because there are racial slurs of the time, some scenes of bullying and physical violence, and a death by suicide. But it's an incredibly important history that's not taught much, and it's especially important now to be remembered. The Journal of Ben Uchida opens February 29th and runs through March 22nd on Saturdays and Sundays at 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. There are two evening shows at 7 p.m. on March 6th and March 13th. Those will be followed by a panel of World
World War II incarceration camp survivors. For more info, go to octc.org at Oregon Children's Theater. That's it for Stage and Studio. You can hear the show again on stageandstudio.org or kboo.fm/stageandstudio. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and like us on facebook.com/stage_studio. Till next time, I'm Dimae Roberts. We're going out with music by David Ornette Cherry at davidornettecherry.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Mitchell, and I would like to invite you to check out my program, Jazz in the New Millennium, at kboo.fm. Each one-hour program focuses on a living jazz artist, putting their work in historical perspective, from their earliest recordings to their most recent. The current season features artists who will be performing at this year's PDX Jazz Festival: Branford Marcellus, David Sanborn, Kenny Barron, Miguel Zenon, James Francis, and Kenny Garrett. The program is syndicated nationally by the African American Public Radio Consortium. It can be heard anytime on KBOO's website by going to the drop-down menu at kboo.fm, clicking on Audio, then Podcast, and then scrolling down to the Jazz in the New Millennium page. That's Jazz in the New Millennium with Rick Mitchell at kboo.fm.
Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Community Radio at KBOO 90.7 FM and online at kboo.fm. You're listening to Art Focus, and I'm your host, Amanda Clem. Today we're going to be talking with artists Christine Miller and Brittany Vega about their exhibition American Hex, on view now at Fuller Rosen Gallery in Southeast Portland on Southeast 11th and Division in the Ford Building. So welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Your show is phenomenal.